Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine. Pastor John's going to bring the Word to us.
Right.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You do and all that You're going to do, Father. Father, we thank You that You, by Your Spirit, lead Your people. You, Father God, by Your Spirit, Lord, show us, enlighten us, and bring us things that we've never seen before. So, Father, today, as we enter in to worship, as we enter into the Word of God while Pastor is speaking, Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit would just have Your way in this house. Speak to every heart, touch every heart. Father, if there's anyone that needs healing, we speak that in Jesus' name. The healing is Yours. Belongs to You. It belongs to You. It belongs to You. Anybody needs strength in the house, strength is Yours. It belongs to You. It belongs to You. It belongs to You. We thank You for it, Father. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship. How many say amen?
It is so well with my soul. Oh my God. He's so present. Can you feel His presence? Can you feel the way He is right now? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. And it says in the words that you never know when you are entertaining angels. And I could see in every empty chair here, there is an angel that is sitting next to you. God has shown me that there is angels throughout this. It might seem like there's not enough people, but there's angels that are here that are being here because of the Spirit of God being here. They're here to join in with us and celebrate and worship with us. And I just praise God for it. And just know that He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. He'll always be with you. And that He loves you so much. And He just wants to show Himself to you. But just know that every time there's an empty chair, there's an angel sitting in it. And if you sit in that chair, He gives you honor and He moves. And He goes to another chair. So God bless you.
It's better to put my book here than shake holding it all the time. But anyway, I know a couple of weeks ago, probably some of you noticed I wasn't here, and I had to just walk in the desert because when it's Mother's Day, I just don't feel I should be here. I just want people to be happy. And sometimes it just clouds me with sadness. So I walked in the desert that morning, and I wrote this poem later. I had a little walk with Jesus through the desert of my heart. I had a little talk with Jesus, His goodwill to impart. I spoke to Him of troubles, my tears and the pain, and then listened for His still small voice to guide me through this strain. As I walked with Him, I listened, and I heard the cooing of a dove. It spoke to me in volumes of His unending love. And I heard and saw a cardinal high up in a tree. His voice of cheer made God's message clear. Now through tear-stained eyes, I see. Jesus loves us through each trial and will shape you in His way. If you lean on Him with courage, He will guide you your path each day. Through your trials, we can trust Him. His word is oh so true, and He will walk with you through your desert. Lean on Him, and He will see you through. So have a little walk with Jesus through the desert of your heart. Have a little talk and be silent for His knowledge to impart. He isn't blind to our sufferings, but collects all our tears, and He will walk with you when you lean on Him and will guide you through your years.
He is a way maker. He is a miracle worker. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life or what you're seeing. His word will come to pass when you stand on it. can let grief, we can let stress, we can let all of these things be things that we shackle onto ourselves. And God, this morning, I feel like God's telling some people, I don't want you carrying that anymore. See, anxiety, depression, all of these things are things that the world definitely talks about more and more because it's something that I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, but I am going to say that God never desired for you to be stuck with it. Because in Him there's freedom. He tells us that He gives us rest. The fruits of the Spirit tell us that we should have joy. So when we're dealing with things like depression, sadness, just a mourning, all of those things, He wants you to be free of those things. He wants you to understand that it's not meant for you to stay in those moments. It's not meant for you to be stuck. I know this is really hard sometimes for people to hear, but the Bible says that all things work together for good. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say just the good things in your life. It tells us that all things work together for good. All of it. The highs, the lows. But a lot of times, when we start going through those lows, for whatever reason, we hang on to them, or we wait there, or we let the hurt just stay with us all the time. But God wants to give you freedom from those things. And sometimes it's not even just necessarily that it's like this sudden freedom, but sometimes it's a revelation of what He's doing in your life. If you will allow Him to speak to you through those moments. We had a conversation just the other day, and I was telling my dad that I remember that when my Theo passed away, I remember my dad praying like crazy. Heal him, touch him, just make him better. He will not stay there, that he's gonna be healed. And we all did, we all prayed. And I remember talking to my dad a while after, and he was talking about how he was upset and angry because he felt like it wasn't answered, but he went to God. When you go to God, there's a huge difference between trying to work through a pain on your own and work through a pain with God. Allowing God to show you, let me just touch your heart. Let me just give you what you're needing, because He's never gonna bring you to a spot and then just leave you there. But He didn't desire for you to just be stuck either. We gotta turn to God for the things in our lives that we feel we can't get past, we can't get over, we can't move on. We're stuck. And I don't know who He's talking to this morning, but He doesn't want you carrying it anymore. He wants you to come to Him and let Him take the burden. Let Him have your sadness. Let Him have your stress, whatever it might be this morning. Because He is a way maker. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He knew you were gonna be there before you even arrived. Yeah. And it's why He's able to work out all the pieces in your favor, that you might be more than a conqueror, just like He desired for you to be. Hallelujah. stand for a moment. I know this is a little different, but I really want to pray really quick. And then we're going to go into this again. Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you're doing. God, we thank you through the highs and the lows. Lord, we worship you in every moment, God. We thank you for what you're doing this morning, God, that every single person that's here, you knew it was ordained that they should be here today at this time, God, for what you had for them. So we just, Lord, we just, we're going to continue to worship, and we're going to lay down, God, every single burden, every single thing that we brought in with us, God, we're laying it before you this morning. And God, we are just going to worship you like it's not even there, because we know that you have already taken care of what we're in right now. And we worship you through it. We worship you through the battles. We worship you through every single victory, every single thing that's happening in our life, God. And this morning, we are going to lift our praise, and we're going to enjoy the presence of God. And you're going to give us all the things, God, that we know we need, Jesus.
Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Word of God. Sorry, Anna. This is Jesus. He is the Word of God, and he has placed that Word on the tablets of your heart. He has given us a way of escape to resist the snare of the devil. He is asking us to come out of her, my children. Come out of the world and step in to his word. He is the tree of life, and he has life more abundantly for you. When we walk in that snare, we get depression and all of those things. We're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, I don't know if I can remember them all, but it's love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control, goodness, long-suffering. What else am I missing? Is that it? Okay. When we walk in that, we have the power. We are the sons of God. The sons of God. Angels are called sons of God. But you, because when you got baptized, you became a son of God through the Spirit. And sometimes we forget that that's who we are, and the power that is embedded inside of us through the Word and through his desires. It's time to make that way. He gives us a way of escape of the snare all the time. There is always a way, as long as we listen to him and operate in his word. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Song, one of the words that it says is he never stops. So what are you waiting for? Just like with Liz, finally. What's that finally for you? Tomorrow? Today?
Right now.
Right now, right? Yes. Expect. Expect him to work in your life, because he's up there. He's done a lot of the things that you've been praying for. Yeah. You just haven't decided to receive them. He's already done it.
Come on. Yeah. That's right.
And so just be there and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And when you let go, he's going to walk with you. He's going to help you give it up.
Hey, let me just say so. This morning we were here at the church at 6 o'clock, and we had 7 kids, I believe it is, 7 young people going to camp this morning. This is Pentecost.
Sunday. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, you see, the symbol that we, this thing that we have on our front of our church here, out on the wall, this symbolizes the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is we believe. How many believe in the Holy Ghost and fire? Oh man, I believe in getting fired up. How many say amen to that? And the Holy Ghost, he's the only one that I know that can do that for me. Amen. Hallelujah. This portrait over here is symbolizing the fire that came down on that. The prophet Joel said, he said, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. How many say amen to that? Amen. Praise God.
You need a chair or something? Thank
you. You need a chair?
You need a chair.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeremiah.
This is Aramaic Hebrew. It's the Shema. Do you know the Shema?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know what it means then, right?
Perfect for Pentecost. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, is our Creator. We love you, Yeshua, Shema, Shema Israel, Israel Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the God, Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, your precious blood washes us, cleanses us, purifies us, covers us, protects us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shema. Israel. Yeshua, Yeshua, HaMashiach.
Thank you.
How many would agree that true worship, the language doesn't matter, right? And whatever language it is, whether it's in Spanish or English or Hebrew or Arabic, Chinese, whatever it is, worship is in the heart, right? And so thank you, Brother Jeremiah, for bringing us that today. Hello. The title of my sermon today is Jesus Said. And as I started putting this together, Jesus said a lot of stuff. He had many, many words that he said. So I hope you guys don't have any plans for today. there's a lot to cover this day. But as like always, when we get a message to give, there's certain things that the Holy Spirit gives us. Doesn't have to be every little thing that's in that Bible, everything, little thing that Jesus had. But I thank God that I can come and bring just a little trinket of some of the things that he said. The book, John ends his gospel by saying that Jesus did so many things that if it was all written, there's not enough room in the world that would contain the books that he could have written. And so we are blessed to be able to look at this book and know that these are some of the things that he thought we would need for our journey today until we once again are with him. And so I'm going to go to, and before I go on, I just want to thank Terry for giving me an introduction to what I'm going to talk about today. So you'll see why. So let's go to 1 John 1, starting with verse 1. Now you know why, Terry. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a little tidbit that was in my study Bible that was so perfect for this, and I'm going to read you that now. And it says, "He spoke, and the galaxy started to whirl. Stars burned in the heavens, and planets began orbiting their stars. Words of awesome, unlimited, unleashed power. He spoke again, and the waters and lands were filled with plants and creatures, running, swimming, growing, and multiplying. Words of animating, breathing, pulsing life. Again he spoke, and man and woman were formed, thinking, speaking, and loving. Words of personal and creative glory, eternal, infinite, unlimited. He was and is, and always will be." The Maker and all that exists. And then he came in the flesh to a speck in the universe called Earth. The mighty Creator became a part of the creation. Limited by time and space,
and susceptible to aging, sickness, and death. But love propelled him so that he came to rescue and save those who were lost and give him the gift of eternal life. He is the Word. He is Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Okay. The Word, an expression of who God is, an expression of the Trinity, ultimately an expression of Him in the form of a man named Jesus, able to relate to His creation face to face, no longer hearing God's Word through a prophet, but through the mouth of God Himself. And as I read in John 1:14, it says, Jesus is alive in the Bible. He's alive in us. He's alive in this book. So I would hope that every word that's spoken by Jesus would be a treasure to each one of us today. And you know, we've talked about it before, but my Bible has all those words in red. It's like, okay, John, pay attention. It's even highlighted so that we can just savor all those words that came out of the mouth. This is God speaking to us, guys. You know, this is God speaking to His people. So today, as Pastor said, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the day that He had told His disciples would come. Now, they had no idea what this day would look like. They only had the words of Jesus to trust in. So let's go to John 14, starting with verse 15. I'm going to read from 15 through 20. This is Jesus talking to His disciples before He... before He's arrested, before he hangs on that cross. And He says to His disciples, says, "If you love Me, keep My commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him and nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see Me anymore, but you will see Me. Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you." So Jesus was telling His disciples that He was leaving, but He would still be with them. He would be in them. And so when you think of that time, you know, like today, you know, we have this book that tells us all about that Holy Spirit, right? But to be hearing this for the very first time, you think they really understood what He was trying to tell them? All prior to this, everything that they heard from Him as He walked, it wasn't just to say about the Holy Spirit. It was to learn of who He was and how He accepted those things. But yet, at that time, you know, these guys were probably going, how can this be? How can you leave, be here, and most of all, how are you going to be inside here? You know, it just, you know, of course, now we look at our Bible and pretty much everything there seems like, how? But how is our faith? And so today we understand that. But even some still don't have, there's people out there that still don't have a full understanding of who this Holy Spirit is. Because I think if we did, the issues that we deal with in life wouldn't be there. If we truly understood that power that lies within us, we truly understood what has already been done, then we wouldn't let those things come back at us and take us to a place that we shouldn't be. God took us where we were, and He changed our lives. He changed my life. Why do I want to go back? There's another scripture that when the disciples are leaving, a lot of the followers are leaving Jesus, and He asks His disciples, are you going to leave me too? And one answers, where do we go? Once you know that presence, there's no place to go. And so, just know that you have been so blessed. I didn't think I was going to do this right off the bat. Steve, where are you? Come and take over. Shed a few tears for me here. Let's go to Luke 24, starting with verse 45. Okay. Jesus has been talking to His disciples, and I'm going to start with verse 45. It says, then He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Jesus is, where am I here? Okay. When He was speaking to His disciples, His words were creating a place for when that day came. Okay, He says He opened their minds. Jesus has definitely a way of opening our minds, doesn't He? Amen. Sometimes our minds are so preoccupied with all the things of the world that we don't have any room to let this Spirit that is within us take the charge that He's supposed to take. And so we let this little guy that thinks he's in charge tell us what we're going to be doing that day. If we would just know the order and abide by that order, then all would be well, right? Because our spirit connects with the Spirit of God, and so we can hear Him. We can listen to what He has to say, and then we have an understanding, and our mind has no place to go except to obey what that Spirit is saying. So, He opens our minds to understand. And have you ever read a scripture? You open your Bible and you read a scripture, and I think we'd all agree, everything that's in this Bible is good stuff. There isn't one part of it that you could say, you know, these guys should have left it out. I don't like it, you know? You may not like it because it's speaking to you, but there isn't anything in this book that you could ever say is not good. It is all good. And so when the Holy Spirit opens our minds, that same scripture that you read maybe a day ago or a week ago or whatever, all of a sudden that same scripture opens up a whole new world. I think we've all had that experience where I didn't see that, you know. Well, you weren't supposed to. That wasn't your time. That wasn't for you at that time. But guess what? Today, that's your time. Pay attention. He's trying to tell you something. And that whole new world will open. And that's the other thing we've talked about before. God gives us a revelation, and then we go and tell somebody, look what God showed me. And then the other person goes, oh, that's nice. Yeah. It wasn't for them, right? And so for you, it's just your heart's pumping, your body's going, and you're wanting to just tell everybody what you've been learning, what God has shown you. And you try to tell somebody, and they go, well, that's nice, you know. Glad you told me. So all scripture is not for everyone at all times. But when that scripture, as the word says, when he opens your mind and you allow your spirit to connect to what he's trying to tell you, oh, don't let it go. Don't let it go. Let's go on. Where was I? Okay, so let's go on. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit would soon be fulfilled. And Jesus tells them, stay in the city until. Until what? Jesus didn't give him a specific date, right? He just says, stay in the city until. And if you remember, we read in John 14:20, it said, on that day. What day is not our call? All you've got to understand is that if Jesus said it, believe it. There's even a song out there that says that, right? If he said it, I believe it. And that should be where we should be at. If Jesus told you that that's what he's doing, that day, just as we even heard this morning with some of the testimonies, that day will come. Yeah. But that's not for you to say, well, Lord, if it doesn't come by next Sunday, then forget it, you know? That's not the way he operates. Not the way he operates. He's saying, I'm going to do it. And he's going to do it when that timing is perfect. Because if he did it prior to that, you may not even understand how it happened. We always have our idea of how things are supposed to turn out. Step one, step two, step three. And all of a sudden, there's a 2.5 in there. You go, that wasn't supposed to be in there. So it must not be God, you know? No, that's not the way it works. Wait for the finale. Because as we're talking about Pentecost, oh, what a finale. Right? But it says on that day. And like I say, what day? Not your call, not my call. And waiting really does make you lose hope sometimes. You know, there's many of us that have been waiting for years. And you say, when, Lord? But if you gave up, maybe it'll never come. But if you keep believing, it will come. Amen. It's all up to you. How much do you trust God? How much do you trust the leading of the Holy Spirit? So what should we do? as we wait. Let's read verse 50. And it says, when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. So what do we do while we wait? We praise and worship him, right? We remain obedient. This is what he told us to do. Stay in the city. He tell you, stay at Sarita House of Worship. Okay, so that's it. You can't leave. What did he say? What did he tell you? So we just keep believing that whatever that word was will come to pass. Will it take today? Will it take, some of us have been waiting for years, as I said. Just believe, keep trusting, and one day you'll be able to stand here like Liz did and just say, this is the day I choose to give it up. I choose. And that's what it's about, guys. You want to carry stuff? You want to be hindered by the things of the past? That's your call. It's your choice. He's already delivered you from all those things of the past. And so all you got to do is say, Lord, I receive. I choose to give it up. And as Liz even kneeled, you take it to the foot of that cross and you lay it at the foot of that cross. And once you do that, not yours anymore. And the enemy may try to convince you that, oh, that was just an emotional time that you went through. Yeah, and guess what? A lot of people pick it right up, throw it back on their shoulders, and carry it for another 10 years or whatever the case may be. So you can pick it back up. But once you lay it down and you truly believe that that's what God asked you to do, he's going to equip you and he's going to give you the strength to be able to just leave it at his feet. Let him carry that. So, let's go to Acts. And Acts 2, 1 through 4. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So, I want to just kind of take that first thing that it says, that they were all together. Can you imagine what the word of unity means? These guys, they're saying Jesus told us to go to the city and wait. They weren't all decided to, go somewhere else. They were all in the same place. And as we read earlier, they were all praying, praising, worshiping, waiting for that day. And so to know that that day, it came, just as I said earlier, Jesus keeps his promises. And so even though they didn't know that day, but it came. And their obedience was followed by a pouring of his blessing. What a day, right? So many things that were poured upon him. And we know that the disciples would never be the same. And that this world would never be the same because of it. You know, when I was putting this together, I was thinking, the disciples walked with Jesus for 3 years and more. And so they got to hear his voice. And so when I was putting this, I said, I wonder if after he was gone and they started to want to listen to the Holy Spirit, I wonder if they would hear it like in his voice. I wonder if that was, you know, that they could actually hear Jesus speaking to them. Wouldn't that be cool? And you think about it, that they knew the sound. And I remember when my daughters were little. And by the way, I got three daughters. They're all old now. But but Stephanie, Suzanne, and Cinnamon, my girls. But I remember them when they were small. And we could be in a large gathering. We could be in large department store, whatever it was. They could, you know, kids yelling and noise everywhere. But when I would hear one of them say, "Daddy," yeah, I knew that voice. I could dissect it from the rest of those kids that were out there. I knew my daughter needed me. And I think that's where we need to be. Know that voice. Even with all the clutter that's going in our worlds today, can you know that voice when he's talking to you? Learn that voice. Allow that to be just so evident to you that when he talks, the junk of the world doesn't matter. All those voices that you're hearing out there trying to place fear upon each one of us, they don't matter. No. Only his voice matters. And his voice is saying, "I'm here. I'm walking with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Have peace." When we can learn to walk in those words that he has told us, all the junk that's going on out there, you won't even think about it. You're going to hear it. And we don't want to be naive to the things that are going on in this world. I want to be aware of them. But I don't want to let them bother me. They have no place in my, how I'm going to designate my day. I just say, "Lord, thank you for today. Let's do it. Let's do it." Jesus' teachings always centered on the kingdom of God and what it meant to be a kingdom citizen. He not only spoke about it, he demonstrated by example. Today, those words are a guide to walk as he walked. So I want to look at Matthew 7:24, which is also my power verse, as you can see. And that says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." To me, all you guys look like a bunch of wise guys. No, I didn't say that. Take it off. Can you edit that? No. No, I know there's a lot of wisdom that lies within each of us here today. We have been blessed to be able to walk in what God has given us. And I thank him for that. So I want to look, like I said earlier, I could have gone through 100 other things that that Jesus said. But these are the things that he told me to bring today. I don't know who needs to hear them. But these are the next few words that I'm going to speak on. And first is Matthew 22. Okay, Matthew 22. Is that what I gave you, Liz? Matthew 22? Nope. Matthew 22:34. Bear with me. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 22:34. Okay. So it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So, do you know that it's not easy to do the second, which is love your neighbor, if you're having issues doing the first? Our love can be flawed and it can have conditions. So when you can love God with all you have, spirit, soul, and body, then you can love others as His love flows through us. God's love never changes. And as hard as it is to imagine that today we're sitting here being so good and we look so holy as I look out there, but you know that He doesn't love you more today than He did when you first came to Him? Even when you admitted that you weren't so lovable. He loved you as much back then as He does this day. The only difference is that now you know how to love Him back. Yep. That's where the difference comes in. We've learned to know how to love and not just be loved. He loved us first. He gave His Son for us. How much more could He have done? So let's go to John 15. Okay. And starting with just 16 and 17. Okay. It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." He chose us, He appointed us, and He also equipped us to bear good fruit. So how do we respond to those around us who we may not think of as so lovable? And one thing, little note to put on there, we may not think are so lovable, but do you agree and understand that these are also children of God? And just because we don't agree, they're still His kids. Okay? So do we respond with love, peace, self-control, or are we no different than the world? Jesus said, "Love your enemies." And it is sad that it could apply to a family member or a brother or sister in the faith. Personalities, behavior, differences in political and religious views can bring division. How many of us have seen that in our families? Some, because you disagree on, you know, are you blue or you're red or whatever it is, right? That person that you used to have fun being around, now you don't want to be around because you have a difference in a political view. So how do we respond to people like that? If we're going to do it with what we have, no wonder we have division. Sometimes that division even brings anger. People have lost people that have been in our lives for a long, long time. They've lost relationships. I'm angry. I don't want to talk. I don't want to, whatever it is, for whatever reason it is. And relationships are lost. But there's a Holy Spirit within us that we will supply all we need to love like he does. Can't do it with our love. All he needs is our yes. and as simple as it sounds, one word, right? Yes. But how hard is it to really say yes to him? When our physical self is our flesh is saying, no, I want it my way. They got to come to me. You know? I'm looking at all of you. We've been there. We've all been there. Well, I didn't say that bad, you know, whatever it is. But where are we at? You can't change others, but you can allow yourself to be changed. Allow the Holy Spirit to do that. He's been on this quest since the day you said yes. He's been changing you. There's been a transformation going on. You are no longer the guy that first came and said yes. You are, as we said before, you're dead. And Christ lives in you. Amen. Let him, let his life shine through you. Let his light shine through you. And take yourself out of this equation, if you want to call it. When someone comes against you, take a moment, take a breath, and just say, remember who you are. Who are you? Are you a reflection of, are you a reflection of Jesus, or are you still that guy that first came to God and said, yeah, let's do it, God, I'm here. I hope that you're a reflection now. I hope that when people see you, they see Jesus in you. That when you walk into a place, you change the atmosphere because he is so evident in you. You're different than the rest of the world. Let it shine. Don't hold back. Now, do you ever compare yourself to someone else? You look around and you see others being favored more than you are. Being more concerned about what others are doing than what God directed you to do. The next scripture is about just that. Jesus had just asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter's answer being yes each time. Jesus' response to Peter, feed and care for my sheep. And then he tells Peter, follow me. So let's go to John 21:20. And so apparently this is Jesus is walking on the beach, and it looks to me from what I've read that Peter and Jesus are walking together, and there's the rest of the disciples are walking behind, and I guess Peter and him are talking after all this. And then Peter tells Jesus, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And I know, where's Steve? He gets a kick out of this. But I want to comment on that. I want to comment. But if you'll notice him, And I'll finish that part. It says that the disciple whom Jesus was following, this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, anyway. So this is John. Always, if you'll read the book of John, where if you write a book, you can call yourself anything you want, right? And so he says, the disciple that Jesus loved. How much greater can that confidence be than to know the love of Jesus for you? I can say that too. John, the guy that Jesus loved. And so the point of this thing is that John knew the love of Jesus. And that's what I've been saying here today. He knew that love so he could love others with the love of Jesus. He understood what it was like to love Jesus. And so to be able to just kind of declare it in a book that's going to last forever, that should be a witness to when you realize that love. You don't talk about how he loved. He says how that disciple that Jesus loved. I can receive that. And once you know how to receive that, your love going out is just kind of like overflows because now you have his love in you. So there you go, Steve. Anyway, anyway, it says, so he goes on and says, Jesus answered, oh, I forget this. Lord, he says, when Peter saw him, which is John behind him, he said, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So here's the point. Peter was given an assignment. Feed my sheep and follow me. That's all he needed to have. Not to be concerned and say, well, Jesus, is one day John going to write Revelations and I can't, you know. You know, it shouldn't have been anything about John. He was given an assignment. And sometimes I think when it comes to where we're at, we always might look at somebody else and feel like they're getting favored maybe, and you're going, well, I could be doing that. Well, maybe God didn't tell you to be doing that. So whatever it is that God has told you to do, as menial as it might seem to you, it's important to him, or else he wouldn't have told you to do it. And so never demean the call on whatever it is to what God's given you. Do it and do it well. And then when you do this, if there's more for him to give you, it will come to pass. Matthew 11, 28. 11, 28 and 30. And it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Isn't that a neat thing to know? Yes. So a question is to you, how are you doing today? Are you tired? Maybe facing physical, financial, or family issues? He tells us not to worry, that he will take care of it. Whatever weight you're carrying, he will take care of it. And as I said earlier, he can't take it if you don't give it to him. So whatever it is that's weighing heavy on your shoulders today, as I said, a few scriptures that I picked for somebody. If it's weighing heavy on your shoulders, know that if you come and, as I said earlier, lay it at his feet, that weight will come off and his yoke is easy. Jesus has good shoulders. He's a strong guy and he can take it from you. Even the word says that You know, he'll even put you on his shoulders and carry you, right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah, he can carry you on his shoulders if he had to do that. Well, that's what he's doing with you. Let's go to John 19:30. And this is a short one. It says, when he had received, this is Jesus on the cross, and this is his final, some of his final words that he speaks. This is, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Finished. Done. Complete. He did it all. Our sins are forgiven, past, present, and even future. By his stripes, we have been healed. Have been healed. In him, we are righteous. We can come boldly into the throne room of the Father and climb up on his lap and just sit there and just let him love us. On this day of Pentecost, may you be reminded of the Spirit that lives within us. And I've got one more scripture. I didn't know if I was going to read it, but I think I will. And that is, if I can find Hebrews here somewhere. It's Hebrews 4:12. And I'll end with this. I think you all know it, but it's a good thing to leave you with. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. What is Jesus saying to you today? Not only through the letters in red, but through every word that's in this Bible. The presence of God can come to life when you allow the Holy Spirit to take you there. What's he saying to you today? Don't disregard that voice that you know so clearly, when you hear it so clearly. And so, as you've heard whatever God gave me for you today, if there's something that is for you today, take it home, pray about it. And if not, that's okay. I bet he's got another one for you. The right timing, the right word, and it doesn't always have to be in red, but there's something in that book for each one of you every day. Take it, savor it, just let it permeate within your spirit and watch what God can do. Please stand with me. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for how you love us, Lord. Help us to understand and receive the love that you have for us, Lord. That we would know how to love others, Lord, like you love us. Lord, you loved us just the way we were. And you took us, Lord. But you didn't leave us there. And Lord, even though today we might seem like we feel closer to you and we know you more today, you're not even starting with us yet, Lord. There is so much to you, Lord. You are so big. There is greater things that we haven't even touched on. Allow our spirits, Lord, to receive what your Holy Spirit has for us today, Lord. Thank you for this day of Pentecost, Lord, that you promised, Lord, that you said your Spirit would rest on your people, that you would pour out your Spirit. And you've done that, Lord. We thank you, and we bless what you're doing in this church body, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Go home.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.